My message this morning is about Sukkot and living by the Holy Spirit. On the first day of the seventh month, Yom Truah, the day for blowing the shofar, also known as Rosh Hashanah, we prayed, we blew the shofar, we considered the important things the shofar reminds us of. For the Yamim Noraim, the 10 days of awe, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we prayed and confessed our sins and turned to the Lord. Now we are preparing to celebrate the last holiday of the seventh month, Sukkot. Shelter, tabernacles, booths. God is a great mathematician. Numbers and mathematical equations and relationships are woven into creation. Numbers are also found in God's calendar and holidays, particularly the number seven, which has a special meaning. The number seven represents fullness, completion. Sukkot is about fullness and completion. Sukkot is not a one-day holiday, but a full, complete seven-day holiday. Sukkot takes place in the seventh month. It's the seventh of the seven annual holidays. So the seventh holiday in the seventh month, it completes and fulfills all the holidays. Sukkot begins on the 15th day of the seventh month when the moon is full. So if you look up at the moon tonight, tomorrow night, you'll see a nice full moon. Completeness, fullness. Passover starts on the 15th day of the first month. Sukkot takes place exactly 6 months later. 6 months from Passover to Sukkot, 6 months from Sukkot back to Passover. So it exactly divides God's calendar in half. Sukkot celebrates the fullness of the harvest. For the third and final time of the year, Jewish men were required to go up to Jerusalem and celebrate the Lord's goodness toward us. We thanked him for giving us a beautiful and productive land to grow crops, seeds to plant, sun to shine on them, rain to water them, strength and wisdom to harvest them. We took the fruit of beautiful trees and willow, palm, and myrtle branches and waved them and celebrated with them. We built shelters, booths, tabernacles, and we lived in them for a week. These booths that go up 1 week and come down the next remind us of the Exodus from Egypt. They remind us that our God freed us from a much more powerful nation that enslaved us. He saved us when we could not save ourselves. The shelters remind us of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. That teaches us about the consequences of disloyalty to God, unbelief, the importance of belief and loyalty and obedience to the living God. These temporary, frail structures teach us that we're a lot like them. We are frail. Our lives are short. In this fallen world, we have no lasting home. we are a lot like the Sukkot, the booths, the shelters. The shelters also point us to a greater exodus that's coming, a future departure from these ages of sin and rebellion and sorrow and sadness and our domination by Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature and death. These shelters point us to the future golden age of mankind, when King Yeshua returns to Jerusalem, his capital, and gathers the harvest of humanity, the chosen remnant of Jews and Gentiles, into his glorious kingdom, which will last for 1,000 years. And these shelters look forward to the eternal state, when there is a new heavens, a new earth, a whole new universe, and the eternal God will tabernacle among us. How cool is that? Sukkot also teaches us that God wants to be very close to us. He wants to live with us. He wants to tabernacle with us. What a wonderful thing to be close to the living God, who's the source of life and blessedness. Well, how does that happen? How do we get close to God? How does he get close to us? When we are saved by God's grace, his unmerited, undeserved help, when we have faith in the living God and transfer our loyalties to the Father, Son, and Spirit, the Spirit of the Father and the Son is given to us. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. He lives in us. He dwells in us. The Father and the Son actually live in us by means of the Spirit living in us. We are born again. The Spirit gives us a new godly nature. We are transformed, born again, new natured, a new nature that doesn't want to rebel against God, a nature that loves God, a nature that wants to serve God and please God. When the Holy Spirit is living in us, but also filling us, it's not enough that he's living in you. He has to be filling you. He can be living in you and not filling you. When the Spirit is living in us and filling us, that's when we are close to God, alive to God, aware of God, thinking about God a lot, all the time, throughout the day. When the Spirit is living in us and filling us, we have power to turn away from evil, to say no to temptation. We are able to live righteous, God-honoring, successful lives when the Spirit is living in us and filling us. When the Spirit is living in us and filling us, we love Yeshua. Of course we would. It's his Spirit living in us. We love Yeshua and we become more and more like him. We start becoming transformed into his image. And we love what Yeshua loves. And we reject what Yeshua rejects. It's automatic. It's natural. What does Yeshua love? He loves God. He loves honoring God, obeying God, pleasing God, putting God first. Yeshua loves carrying on his own great mission of world evangelism that is so important to him. Yeshua loves us proclaiming the message of salvation to everyone we can. He loves us building his community, investing in his community, our time, our talents, our treasures. He loves us loving and serving the people in his community. We need to be filled with the Spirit of the living God all the time. Another way of saying that is that we need to live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, Rabbi Paul writing to Messiah's communities in Galatia. Walk by the Spirit. Well, walk means live. Live by the Spirit, which means let the Holy Spirit constantly guide your lives. Live by the Spirit. Live so that God is guiding you, directing you, whispering to you all the time in his still, small voice. How do we live by the Spirit? First, we make absolutely certain that we have become loyal to the Father and the Son. We end our part in the great rebellion against God. We humble ourselves and we allow God to truly be God. We're not God anymore. God is God. We turn to God and to his ways, and we turn away from our own ways. If we are loyal to the Father and the Son and our part in the great rebellion against God, humble ourselves and allow God to be God, turn to God the way we should, we will be born again. We will be given a new godly nature. The Spirit of God will live in us, dwell in us, take up residence in us. And then we live by the Spirit. We can do things to facilitate us living by the Spirit, to help us live by the Spirit. We discipline ourselves to pray. Prayer takes discipline. We discipline ourselves to pray, which means talking to God throughout the day. Hopefully, from the moment we wake up until we go to sleep at night. We talk to the Lord about the things that interest us. Oh, Lord, that's really interesting. Really like that. Thank you for making that, doing that. We talk to the Lord about the things that interest us. We talk to him about the things that concern us. We ask him to meet our needs and the needs of those we care about. We praise him. We thank him throughout the day for who he is and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. We discipline ourselves to pray so that we are talking to God from the moment we wake up until we go to sleep. We discipline ourselves to take in God's word. God's word is so powerful. It's so blessed. But it takes discipline to engage with the word of God. Each day, hopefully, at the very beginning of the day, we read part of the word of God. We don't just read it and forget about it. We think about it. Throughout the day, we meditate about it. On Shabbat, we discipline ourselves to join the gathering of the Lord's people. And that takes discipline, to make that a priority, to make that a focus. We discipline ourselves to join the gathering of the Lord's people and hear the word of God taught by God-ordained teachers. We discipline ourselves to take in God's word, which is so powerful, so helpful, so blessed. We discipline ourselves to be actively involved in Messiah's community, not just come to the worship service, sing a few songs, listen to the message, throw a few bucks in the tzedakah box, and then leave. No, we are actively involved in the life of the community, using our gifts and abilities to serve the people in whom the Spirit of God is living. We do not really love God, whom we don't see, if we don't love the people in whom he is living, who we do see. You can say, I love God, I love God, I love God. If you are not loving the people in a local Yeshua community in whom he is living, you do not love God. You are fooling yourself. We discipline ourselves to bring the good news to those outside Messiah's community of salvation. And that takes discipline, and that takes focus, and that takes thought. But that's one of our very core responsibilities, how we relate to the world. We initiate conversations about God and Messiah and the one and only salvation that is available through Yeshua. That's how we conduct ourselves in the outside world. We discipline ourselves to do that. The law of sowing and reaping applies to these disciplines. The more we sow, the more we reap. The more we pray, the more we read the Bible, the more we love and serve the people in Messiah's community, the more we focus on proclaiming the message of salvation to those around us, the more we will live in the Spirit. Mark my words. And when we fail, when we sin, when we wander away from God and no longer are as close to him as we should be, when we're not living by the Spirit, when we realize it, when we come to our senses, maybe when we're miserable enough, we confess our sins. We acknowledge that we have sinned, have wandered away, are not being filled with the Spirit, are not living by the Spirit. We thank God for his great and abundant mercy and forgiveness. We ask the Lord to fill us with his Spirit once again. And he will. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, help us truly be saved, born again, have that new godly nature, have your Spirit not only living in us, but filling us. Heavenly Father, help us to live by the Spirit every day, all day. And if, Heavenly Father, we have strayed from you, if we're not filled with your Spirit, if we're not living by the Spirit, help us to recognize it, admit it, confess it to you as a sin, and come back to you and be filled with the Spirit the way we should. Heavenly Father, help us practice our spiritual disciplines until they become good spiritual habits, second nature to us. And I pray this B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.